according to St. Luke, the 4th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days, and when they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone." Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, "To you I will give their glory and all this authority, for it has been given over to me, and I will give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered him, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you. And on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an opportune time. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
So the devil was looking for an opportune time. You think that the evil force in the world or the evil forces in the world look for an opportune time to attach to us? Think about that. Think about that during this Lenten season. This first reading. Keep in mind that Moses said to his people, "When you come into the land that the Lord God is giving you, when you come into this land of milk and honey," the word "when" is very important. Moses didn't say to the people, "If you come into the land of milk and honey," he says, "When you come into the land of milk and honey, when you come into the promised land." So Moses was assuring the people whom he led that things were going to get better. Not if things would be getting better, but when things get better. Jesus promises us something. He promises us the kingdom. And he doesn't say to us, "If you come into the kingdom," our Lord says to us, "When you come into the kingdom." Moses said, "When you come into this land of milk and honey, you know what you need to do? You need to worship. You need to celebrate when you come into this great land, to this promised land. Remember the past. Remember the 40 days. Remember the 40 years. Remember what you had to suffer. And now, when you come into the land of milk and honey, celebrate, worship." And isn't that what you and I do? We look at the wilderness of our lives. We know some of the things that we've had to go through in our lives. We've known our own sufferings. And we well know, because our Lord tells us, "Not if you come into the kingdom, but when you come into the kingdom, your kingdom come, O Lord, your will be done. And there are no ifs about it. We know that we are part of God's kingdom. In that first reading, we hear the word, when you come into the kingdom, and then we come to the gospel, and we hear another word, if. The devil says to Jesus, if you are who you say you are, if you are the Son of God, do this. If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread. And how does Jesus respond? He responds with God's word. One does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Jesus responded with God's word. And isn't that how we need to respond to any evil that approaches us? You and I need to respond with the word of God. There's that final if that the devil presents to Jesus. If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. God's angels will protect you. But Jesus did not get caught up with self-importance. Jesus knew that there was no rushing into coming into God's kingdom. And Jesus will become the one true sacrifice slowly. He knows there's a process that one has to go through when you're going into God's kingdom. As I hear today's gospel, and we hear this gospel every year at this time, every year we hear about Jesus being tempted. And what we have to realize is that in this gospel, Jesus refuses to gratify his natural impulses. He refuses. He refuses instant gratification. Remember, years back, I talked about that commercial. It was a furniture commercial where it says, I want it all and I want it now. And I just recently heard another commercial. I can't recall which one it is. It used to be a furniture commercial. I think it's something else. But there are those words again coming back at us. I want it all. I want it now. There's some people who want to take the easy way out. They want everything now. They want it all. As you hear this important gospel that begins our Lenten season, please realize that Jesus did not take the easy way out. There are times in our lives when some things look good, some things sound good, some things feel good. We want it now. We want it all. All that instant gratification can satisfy us temporarily. But what instant gratification satisfies us on a permanent basis? That's a very important question that we need to ask ourselves during this Lenten season as we hear this gospel where Jesus does not desire any kind of instant gratification. He was famished. He fasted. He was hungry. But he knew very well when he told this evil force that was confronting him, one does not live by bread alone. One does not live by food alone, but by every word that comes from God. There's another saying, you know that saying, you are what you eat. And I'm thinking, you are what you don't eat. Think about that. We need to think about what we take into our minds, into our souls, and we need to think about what we take into our bodies. There are some of those who are able to fast, and there are some who cannot fast because of medical problems. But Jesus was able to fast. And because he was able to fast, he was able to focus not on food, he was able to focus on God. And what was his true hunger? What do you hunger for? What did Jesus hunger for in the wilderness? Not for food. He hungered to be close to God. And isn't that the true hunger that you and I have? We hunger to be close to God. Oh, I want it all, and I want it now. You know people who have gotten themselves into difficulty because they say, oh, this looks good to me. This sounds good to me. This feels good to me. And because of this desire for this instant gratification, what happens? Some people get themselves into trouble. Jesus made his decisions on how he could best serve God. And isn't that what we need to do? Make choices in our lives and ask ourselves, how can we best serve God in this situation? How can we be loving in this situation? You know, Jesus didn't turn those stones into bread, but we know what he did in his ministry. He fed hungry people. He didn't choose to have all the political kingdoms in the world. But throughout the world, his ministry had a great impact, and it continues to have a strong impact. He didn't perform that wonder of jumping from the pinnacle of the temple and being saved by God's angels at that time. But as you and I well know, in his ministry, Jesus performed all kinds of wonders for people who were in need. Read that gospel again. Jesus did not take the easy way out. But please know this. His temptations did not end in the desert. Avoid the cross, Peter said to him. Jesus had his doubts in the Garden of Gethsemane. Let me tell you, temptation never ends. The more spiritual you become, the more the devil is going to try to grab you by the seat of the pants and pull you into his realm. The more obedient you become, the more obedient you become, Your spiritual struggle will become more intense. And this whole Lenten season is about intensifying our spiritual struggle. So when you pray, and I hope you pray during this Lenten season, pray intensely. So when you pray, not if you pray, when you pray, pray for God's kingdom to come. Pray for God's kingdom to come here and now. Amen.